Welcome in to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 377. We are here to talk the news of the last 48 hours or so, Monday Night Raw and NXT. But before we can get started, I'm here with Seth Dillman and Jared Aubrey. And fellas, how the hell are you?
Well, I put up on my Facebook today, maybe it was yesterday, but I couldn't help but think about the whole Vince thing. I don't know how much we're going to get into it, but Vince McMahon finds sneezing disgusting. And if you read any of the allegations that's in that lawsuit, that sounds really crazy. But other than that, everything's great.
Wasn't Vince also the same guy that hired Darren Drozdov because he could puke on command?
Probably.
Yes, yes.
I seem to remember that in a documentary. Yeah.
Yes. I saw that documentary by myself in a theater. But I digress.
I don't blame you.
What I was going to say is, coming out of Royal Rumble, I had a pretty big sad. And after Raw and the fantastic segment between Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, I perhaps see a light at the end of the tunnel now. So I'm not quite as sad as I was on Saturday.
Oh, Padawan. All right. Well, let's get into the news first, and then we'll see how happy Jared is in about 10 minutes.
Well, shit.
Mercedes Moné reported to be back to the wrestling ring in March, and not for WWE. Also of note in March is AEW Revolution.
Hmm.
Second news item, CM Punk injured. Again, at a pay-per-view, again,
always,
where he tore his tricep, again, and he has to have surgery, again. The only difference is it's the other arm. So this puts him out for Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania 40, Backlash in Paris, Money in the Bank, possibly even SummerSlam.
Wow.
So see you in the fall, Phil.
Or not.
Or not. We'll have to see. We have a new Raw commentary team of Michael Cole and Pat McAfee. And the SmackDown team is to be Wade Barrett and Corey Graves. Now, I've seen reports of Wade Barrett being play-by-play, and I've seen reports of Corey Graves being play-by-play. So I don't know. These are both color guys. I don't know. And when I say that, I mean color commentary. I don't know who will actually be a play-by-play guy or if they're going to be any good at it. So we'll have to see. Next news item, Brock Lesnar might be done with WWE, but never say never. It's been reported by Dave Meltzer that because of the allegations in the lawsuit, it was obviously a last-minute decision to remove him from the Royal Rumble. His spot and his eliminations and everything that went along with it was given to Braun Breaker, which, yes, means Dominic Mysterio would have eliminated Brock Lesnar, and yes, they would have had a match at Elimination Chamber in Australia. Will that be given to Braun Breaker? Who knows? But as a WWE source has stated, it might be a long time, if ever, we see Brock again. And wow. The next news item is WrestleMania plans not set just yet per WrestleVotes. Between the unfortunate injury to CM Punk, the questionable status of Seth Rollins, and the pulling of Brock Lesnar, the WrestleMania card has taken a sharp turn. Sources say that there are a number of brand new card variations on the table, including some superstars who were not pegged toward the top just days ago. We're being told that they will take their time to figure things out and consider, quote, just about everything. And this is why they say it's written in pencil and not set in stone. And the final news item before we discuss, there is a report, and several reports, I should say, that Kevin Owens worked the Royal Rumble match, not the match, but worked his match at the Royal Rumble with a fractured foot.
Oh, geez.
Hot damn. And you would have never known it. And good God, that must have been painful. So, thoughts on the news?
I'd heard that Michael Cole might be part of the SmackDown team as a three-man team, but I don't know. I don't think that's, as you said, set in stone.
I'd be interested to see if Corey Graves gets the nod as the play-by-play person. I'm not sure if Wade Barrett's, I like Wade Barrett, nothing wrong with him, but I think he's probably better suited as, you know, with his voice and everything, perhaps that suited as this guy, that kind of the commentary, the color person, not, you know, I won't go any farther with that. It just seems to make more sense to me. And plus, you know, Corey Graves is a pretty smart guy. And I like how he does things. So maybe we'll see that.
We just got rid of a guy with an accent. Let's not bring another guy with an accent into the play-by-play slot. I think Corey's taken over play-by-play when Kevin had to dip out or something, or he's done it very minimally, but he has done it. So at least he has some experience. So we'll have to see how things end up shaking out and sounding on SmackDown. Moving over to Monday Night Raw. It starts with, after the announcement of Pat McAfee, it starts with CM Punk coming out and cutting a pretty good promo that addresses his future, says that WrestleMania 40 is not in the cards for him, and he confirms his torn tricep and that he has to go away, and touches on a whole bunch of other topics, that his tricep is just a flesh wound compared to other people who are battling things like cancer. And he says, as far as WrestleMania goes, he's a Chicago Cubs fan, and he's said it before and he'll say it again, that there's always next year. And then he's interrupted by Drew McIntyre, who decided that tonight was the night he was going to level up his heeldom and take it up a couple of notches.
Wow, no kidding.
Because he says initially that he can relate to some of the things that Punk was saying, but even though he may not be a spiritual man, he prayed for Punk's injury. He says that when he eliminated him in the Royal Rumble, he did not sleep at all. And then the next day, he heard of Punk's injury and he slept like a baby. So he says that he excised the demon that is CM Punk. And then he says he's going to take his dream of WrestleMania and be in the title match again for a second time, whereas Punk has done it zero times. And so Punk then says that he's going to rehab, he's going to get back, and he's going to be at WrestleMania and main event. But before he gets to that, he's going to get to the first item on the checklist, and that will be coming straight for Drew. Then they get into a little scuffle. Drew stomps on the arm, and as I'm showing this to Nicole last night, she's like, why would he do that? I'm like, well, it's going to get repaired anyway. It can't get any worse. It was just like the Cody thing with the pec when the next night on Raw, Seth Rollins hit it with a sledgehammer. Why? Can't get any worse. So this is all well and good, but Drew's contract is up at Mania, and we just established that Punk will not be back by Mania. So unless Drew re-signs, or they have a lot of confidence that he will re-sign, he could be in AEW by the time Punk comes back, ironically enough. It was good, but leaves me with some pause on how they set it up moving forward.
Yeah, I'll just add that one about, I prayed and it happened. It's like, gosh, that was a great heel line right there.
That was probably the best Drew McIntyre promo I've ever seen. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I think he started it off, and I'll paraphrase here, but you know, you were a terrible person to me before, and you know, all this pent up rage, and you know, we all knew that he was someone that didn't really like Punk that much. So I'm going to call this one kind of a work shoot, and it was awesome. And please, Drew, if you do more of that kind of stuff, like against everybody, it's like, I'll be the biggest Drew McIntyre fan out there. That was outstanding.
This did trigger a memory from a long time ago. I forget exactly when it happened, but it was when Tully Blanchard had actually been working for WWE as an agent. And he apparently was allegedly getting bullied by JBL, you know, saying you don't belong here and stuff like that. And so he resigned from that position. And I forget exactly how he worded it, but he was talking about the story of the Bible that he could relate to now, because there were times when God talked to a donkey, and he compared it to that. Basically, you know, calling JBL a jackass.
JBL bullied somebody?
Say it ain't so.
Just to go over some of the matches and highlights, the Judgment Day retained the Undisputed Tag Titles by defeating DIY in a good match. Jey Uso defeated Bronson Reed in a good match. And Gunther retained the Intercontinental title against Kofi Kingston in an amazing match. So Raw was not lacking for quality on the match front. And the only other talking point really from Raw is the Cody Rhodes promo, where, and I'm not going to go into a long diatribe about this, but I'll summarize. Cody was out there feeling good, enjoying his win. He had Samantha introduce him a second time, which I thought was great. And he basically was about to make everything official for WrestleMania, and then Seth Rollins' music hit. He comes to the ring and basically says that it would be a mistake to fight Roman. He should fight Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight title. And then he basically broke it down as to why. And he calls Roman's title the Hulk Hogan title. And then the Hollywood title and the title for those who politic their way to the top. And you should want to fight for the workhorse title, the Dusty Rhodes title, even though Dusty has zero connection to this title. And the blue
looks kind of sort of like the one he won.
Well, yeah, but
big gold.
Other than that, no. So then Cody says he'll think about it. And this was obviously came across better than I just described it, but I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this segment.
And one thing about that Hulk Hogan or Hollywood title reference, it's not just Hogan. When you think about a lot of the wrestlers that won that title that would then go on to Hollywood, The Rock, obviously, Cena, Batista, all those guys held that belt and now they're in Hollywood. Well, except for Rock, he's technically back in the company, but you get what I mean.
I thought this segment was pretty amazing, and not for the directional implications that it could go. I mean, that too. But I mean, that was, you know, Cody started delivering a pretty good promo. Seth comes out and serious. Seth just killed it when he was talking about what that title meant to him and how it's different from Roman's title and why Roman isn't a real, you know, essentially a real champion because he's never around, all that kind of stuff. That was a pretty passionate plea for come fight the real champ. And I obviously hope they do that because that frees up Roman and Rock. So this was the one that gave me a little bit of the, oh, hey, we might be saving things here and I'm fully interested. So let's go.
And we've come to the portion of the show where I pop Jarrett's bubble. Because if you saw in the group chat, Seth tweeted out, "Do what's in your heart, Cody." And then Cody responds to Seth by saying, "I'll be at SmackDown on Friday."
That doesn't pop any bubbles. That could be him saying, "I'm not going to come after Roman."
I wouldn't hold your breath.
Ah, shut up. I saw some light. Give me this. Just give me tonight, would you? Just
let me have my moment.
Absolutely.
Give me what I want.
All right. Well,
tell us what you want. What you really, really want.
I wanna.
All right. NXT TV quickly. Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Semifinal. Trick Mello Gang defeated the LWO and advances to the finals at Vengeance Day on Sunday against Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. The winners become number one contenders for the tag team titles. Roxanne Perez defeated Tatum Paxley. Lola Vice defeated Electra Lopez. Noam Dar retained the Heritage Cup Championship against Von Wagner. And Chase Yu was saying their final goodbyes, only to be interrupted by JC Jane saying that she has saved Chase Yu by coming out with the 2024 Ladies of Chase Yu calendar, and the projected sales will save the financial ruin of Chase Yu. And I actually watched this segment and the face-to-face between Trick and Ilya. And let me tell you, this segment was amazing just for the fact of before JC comes out there and saves the day. Duke Hudson says that he beat up some students. And then Andre Chase gives him a look and goes, no, I worked with some students to put together this video package of all the good times that Chase Yu had. And the video package is set to the music of Tell Me a Lie, which was Shawn Michaels' music for one of his video packages when he was retiring or whatever it was. It was hilarious that they used that track. So good. Anyway, Chase Yu is saved. JC Jane, I guess, officially turns face because she joins Chase Yu. Oh, this segment was gold.
And really, I think one of the things that made it work, it's entertaining just because of the absurdity of it, if that makes any sense. You know,
the supposed university. Yeah, it's been absurd since the start, but it's grown on me.
Yeah.
And then we had the Trick Williams and Ilya Dragunov face-to-face, and I really like where this story is going because they're planting the seeds of Trick's, basically his emotional turmoil of does he trust his friend Mello or does he trust the man he respects in the champion and Ilya that he's challenging? And who does he trust? Who's trying to steer him wrong? And they had a great visual at the end here because Braun and Corbin attack. Mello comes out to make the save. Trick and Mello are fending off Baron and Braun. But then Trick turns and helps Ilya up to his feet in time for Mello to turn around and question with only his facial expressions, question why Trick is more focused on Ilya than he is on having Mello's back against the tag team that they're going to be facing. So Trick is pulling double duty at the pay-per-view Sunday. Something's going to pop off, I'm sure, with Mello either turning heel fully or something. But I have a feeling that Mello does not want Trick to be the NXT champion.
I know I've liked what I've seen out of this, and they're kind of doing the buddy thing, but you can tell that, you know, there's some little underpinnings there of something is going to go sideways. So I'm looking forward to see how they do this. Should be good and big.
I also like where they brought Trick along as a character because he was like white noise when Mello first started.
Yeah.
And nobody gave a crap. And now all of a sudden he's one of the hottest things in NXT. And, you know, some naysayers may say, well, it's because of the theme song, just like Seth Rollins. Well, it helps, but there's other character development if you're actually watching the show.
No, he was a typical like buddy. Well, side piece is the wrong word, but he's kind of buddy tag along. Yeah, sidekick. There you go. That's what I'm looking, trying to send you.
Side piece is a different podcast and a different show.
Right. We might have to switch our explicit designation for that one. But no, he was just kind of along for the ride, and now he's a player in his own right. So, yep, I'm there for this one.
It's amazing how many characters are getting over since losing the 2.0 tag. Who knew? You get Vince's grubby paws out of stuff. Oh, wrong. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Oh, in more ways than one. Hello, ka-ching.
Yeah, you just erase Vince from the equation and things get better. We'll leave it at that. All right, any final thoughts?
I was just random thought spinning in my head about the whole Vince thing was, because when we just mentioned him, was I wonder if, you know, if all this comes down and he gets, you know, the book thrown at him, whatever happens, right, is if he's, ultimately utterly disgraced, are they going to erase him from videos like they've erased other people?
I don't think you can without erasing history. Like, the whole Austin Vince feud would go away.
Yeah.
It'd be another one of those Royal Rumble winners that nobody knows. Who won that year? Vagant. Yeah, it would be tough. I'm sure an editor could retire off of that assignment.
No kidding.
But yeah, I doubt it. It'll just be never mentioned again, probably.
Yeah.
Moving forward. You know, until they need something like Hogan. You mean to tell me there's nobody else from St. Petersburg that they could have done the voiceover for the Rumble opening? Anywho, at least I'm not bitter, right?
It's a celebration of Hulkamania, brother.
Yeah. 40 years of racism.
Oh, Jesus. We should probably stop this before we get on a deep, dark path here. Between Vince and Hogan. Oh, my gosh.
We opened some kind of door, and I guess it's forbidden, but no.
Oh, snap. All right. Topical and timely and funny. Attaboy.
All right. Well, on that note, our next show will be a review of Dynamite. At least it'll be something different. So that will be coming up. And then it'll be also interesting to see how SmackDown goes.
Well, you can now say that AEW and WWE have something in common, and that neither one of them have Vince McMahon or Brock Lesnar right now. So
take that. They're both McMahon free since 93, or should have been. All right. Well, until then, once again, boy, this show fell off the tracks fast. Thank you once again for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordZandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.